Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the only one on so far, so we're going to wait.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about the confusion this morning.
Oh, it was nothing. Ruby.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Hanak?
Well, Hashem, I'm well.
Good.
Malka.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're studying section 30 of the Parsha of Noah from the Sulam commentary of the Zohar. And we're going to start with verse 227 of section 30. But first we will start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudcha b'rechu ishkinte b'dhimu urchimu udhimu udhimu urchimu v'yakta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe b'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah L'asok Torah mitzvah. V'ayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kanunei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kanuneihu. Amar lo b'ri yedat da'at milei d'oraita. Amar lo yedana d'ha aba hawa olif li bepara parashat karbanot v'arkina udnai l'may dehawa amar im yachi ihu kishisha b'nai amar leya rabbi esab rabbi Ema li Rabbi Yessa then asked him, "My son, are you familiar with matters of the Torah?" And he answered, "Yes, I am. My father used to teach me the section of the sacrifices, and I also used to listen to what he taught my elder brother." Rabbi Yessa then said to him, "My son, speak to me." Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, it's introducing us to the boy, the young boy, the young son.
Well, we were introduced slightly the previous verse.
Yeah, but we've got a little bit about the sacrifices, so a little bit more than him just being a servant.
Yes, we learned that he was studying Torah, and that he had learned it from his father, and that he remembers well the sacrifice sections. But we didn't learn his name. We didn't learn his father's name. So you really don't know if he's a physical person or not.
All right.
I wonder if he was connected with the Levite family.
Why
when he talks about the sacrifice. because of the sacrifices, and his father taught him about the sacrifices. It doesn't state that he was involved with it, but I'm just thinking that him stating that is that my thought pattern is he's from the Levite family dealing with the high priest or the Levites that tended to the sacrifices.
It would be more along the lines of families of the Kohanim that he would be attached to study the sacrifices. The Levites studied the Psalms. They studied how to sing.
Okay.
They studied how to clean and take care of the temple proper. But you could be right. It's a good point. Verse 28. Umi kohav hatahor vayayal olot b'mizbeach vayiven noach mizbeach daihu mizbeach diakriv beya adam kadma'a noach amai kariv ola Kehaula la salka ela begin hir hura deli ba the noach ba me hav ela noach hir har la amar ha kadsha kedosha kudosha Kud Shabarihu Gazar Dina Al Alma Deid Harav Dilima Begin Desheziv Li Kozakuta Pakali Dela Yishtar Zechu Be Alma Miad Viven Noach Mizbeach La Hashem. The young boy started with the verse, and Noah built an altar to Hashem, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. He said, after Noah built an altar, indicates the altar on which Adam offered his sacrifice. Then he asked, why did Noah offer a burnt offering? As a burnt offering is only offered to atone for wrongful thoughts of the heart. What was Noah's sin? And he replies, Noah thought to himself, the Holy One, blessed be He, judged the world and sentenced it to destruction. Perhaps in being spared, I used up all the merit that I have, and am now left with none. So immediately Noah built an altar to Hashem. Questions, comments, thoughts?
In addition to this being like a sin offering, when he makes the comparison about how Adam brought sacrifice to Hashem, could it be that they were looking at because when they sin, you kind of break that link of communication with the Creator, but by offer these sacrifices, you reestablish that opening?
Yes, when you do bring a sacrifice, you reestablish the connection to the Creator that was broken by your sin. or you strengthen the connection by bringing a sacrifice. Or you bring peace in your family. It depends on the type of sacrifices. There's like 4 to 5 different kinds of sacrifices.
But this was a burnt offering.
The burnt offering, everything is burned. And the smoke rises directly to Hashem. And elsewhere it says it's a sweet savor to Hashem. And here we're being told that it unifies any wrongful thoughts of the heart, whatever that means. Because I don't know anybody's heart who has a head that's thinking. But in reality, that's a very common expression in the Kabbalah, the thoughts of the heart, or the head of the heart.
But could that be your desire, things that you desire that you maybe perhaps you shouldn't desire? Could that be the thought of the heart?
Well, it could also be things you desire that you should desire. We're not really clear on what the thoughts of the heart are, because we think that all thoughts come from the head.
Well, if there's any validity to the midrash that we learned that one of the animals attacked him, I think if I had been in that place, it would make me wonder, oh, well, here I am on this ark. I have all these animals, and yet I wasn't protected by being mauled by this lion. That would cause me to think, well, maybe I've lost my marriage.
Well, I'm not familiar with that midrash. You read a midrash that said that Noah was attacked by the lion?
A couple of days ago. I had never heard the midrash, but I think Malka mentioned it, and you had a little bit to say about it, and that's what came up in my mind.
I thought the midrash was talking about that one of the sons of Noah was attacked by the lion, and within the midrash, one of the midrashim that I've read, it was because he was the only one of the 4 men and the 4 women. He and his wife were intimate for one time during the nighttime feedings on the ark. And so because he sinned by profaning a holy place with the wrong consciousness, he lost the consciousness of being a man. And the animals always sensed the consciousness of man. So you'll see some people will walk by a house and the dog barks. And another person walks by the house and there's no barking. When there's barking, it's an indication that the man has lost that level of consciousness called man. And that when the animals don't bark, it's out of fear. And they do that because they sense that this person walking by them is a man, has that consciousness. Because the animals are always fearful of a man and also a woman. But when someone sins, they lower and the animals feel a greater affinity and they are no longer in awe of the man. So Hashem uses them as tools to affect judgment on the man.
I think maybe at that point Noah was still trying to process how he and his family was saved and no one else. Very, I think, humbled, or as you just said, in awe of a creator. So I think he was really just trying to process. So I think he made a wise choice by offering a sacrifice to the creator, to Hashem.
Well, we agree because the verse tells us that, Malka. The English is saying that Noah was thinking that he had lost his merit, that he was in the ark and that he used up all of his merit and he needed to build some more by doing additional mitzvot. Should I go on to 229, or are we still talking about 228?
I think we can go on.
Okay. Ahu mizbea tiatrizbea Adam harishon hawa ihaki Hi hake amai vayiven ela begin v'chayave alma garmu dila kaima v'dukteya kewan dilata moach ketiveya Why then? This was the altar on which Adam offered his sacrifices. So the boy asks, if it was so, then why does it say that he built it? It was Adam who built it. And he replies, it says this because the wicked of the world had caused the altar not to stand in its place. The place where it can transfer abundance to holiness. When Noah came to offer his sacrifice on it, the verse states, and Noah built it because he brought it back to the place where abundance is directed toward holiness. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So is this like Noah rebuilding like a vessel? We know that the altar reconnects man or humans to God.
Yes.
But is it like rebuilding the vessel of like Malhut or elevating Malhut to Zeranpin?
We're elevating Malhut to Zeranpin through the sacrifice. And this is especially true with the Ola, the burnt offering, because everything on the animal is consumed. There's nothing left, but the smoke rises to Hashem as a sweet savor. So that whole idea is about elevating Malchut to Zeranpin. But there's a very telling phrase in here.
Did Noah bring the altar with him? Because it said that it moved from the place where they that generation brought in sin, so that the altar was not in a kadosh place.
Maybe it's not a physical place.
When Adam built the altar, he built it out of wood or stone. And it basically sat on the Temple Mount. Now Noah comes along and says, where is the Adam, where is the altar that Adam built? It's not here where it should be. So he went to find it and rebuilt it, repaired it. So the Torah says he built it. But what, why would the altar not be in the same place? Which is what the verse is hinting at. Why would it have been moved?
Well, would it have been moved because, if we're talking about raising Mahut to Zeranthin, that when they sinned, you had the flood, that they were divided or separated.
Say it again because you broke up.
Okay. If you made a comment about Malhut, by building the altar, Malhut is elevated to Zeranthin. And the burnt offering...
Not by building the altar, by sacrificing.
The
rebuilding of the altar is part of the sacrifice. Because you cannot sacrifice properly without an altar that allows you to throw the blood on certain corners.
So was the reason that it moved because of the sin and the flooding? They were separated? Because I'm not thinking about the altar as being something physical. I'm thinking about it being spiritual.
Okay. But then why would it... Malchut is separated from Zeranthin by virtue of the sins of the generation of the flood. But the spiritual altar is in Zeranthin. There's no need for it to be moved in Zeranthin. And the altar that is in Malchut is definitely going to be moved by the flood. And what did he rebuild?
The altar.
He rebuilt the altar. But he reattached Malchut to Zeranthin by virtue of the verse says, and Noah built it, and the explanation of building it is because he brought it back to the place where abundance is directed toward holiness. So it's not that it was destroyed or by the flood. It was moved. It was no longer in the right place where the flow of Shefa came down into the earth.
Okay. So that means separation. Is that correct?
Yes, it means separation. But it's also, we're talking about the separation at the level of consciousness, at the thought of the heart. Put these two verses together. He's correcting the thoughts. Now, thoughts are not in the physical world. We receive them in our minds, but they come from Zeranthin, and our mind is in Zeranthin. We think it's in Malchut because it's in our body, but our brain is in our body. Our mind is in Zeranthin. Remember, we have a mind and we have a brain. One is a physical organ, the other is a spiritual concept. And thoughts are attracted to the mind based on the actions that people do. So tell me, is it clear as mud?
Yes.
So you're saying this is...
There's a hint here to that theories that are expounded about the inner earth and the turning of the globe on its axis from the first 900 generations and the Atlantis and Mir in the Pacific. All of those stories and I don't know what else to call Midrashim, actually. All of those, this verse is hinting that the world turned on its axis. So therefore, it was disconnecting from the place, the location where the Shefa flowed into the physical world. And Noah had to reconnect it. He had to know where that flow of Shefa occurred in the world, and then he had to bring the altar, bring the physical world in alignment with that. And that was, he did that with his consciousness, with his thoughts. So you have hints to mind over matter in this verse as well.
Okay, I have a question. So once they're connected, Malhut and Zeramp, and then the Shefa flows down to Malhut from your side of Zerampin?
The Yesod of Zeranpin flows into the Malhut of Zeranpin, which is the physical world. So once they are reconnected, the spiritual flow, the Shefa, comes into the physical world, but then it comes in one location, and then it spreads throughout the world through channels that are buried into the earth. Those channels follow a mathematical spiral called the phi. I believe it's called the phi. But the Torah has that built into the words that it says. And the stars are composed of these spirals. It's a sequence of numbers that create the spiral. I'm not that familiar with the numerical aspects of it, but I think it's 1, 2, 3, 5, and then it would be 8. Because you're taking the previous two numbers and adding them together to get the next number.
Oh, that's kind of like that Fibonacci or something like that?
Yeah, it's Fibonacci. That's the correct term.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's a Fibonacci sequence, a Fibonacci spiral. So have I given you enough to think about today?
Yes. That was good.
We're
thank
out of time
you.
Anyway.
Also Star for the future. Because I think in Isaiah, it also causes us to think about the future, because I think in Isaiah it tells us that the earth is going to go back to being straight up and down.
Correct. It's going to go back to desolation, because the word that's used in one of the verses of Isaiah has the meaning, we're taught, the word that's used, we're taught not to read it with the vowels that are correct, but read it with the vowels that mean desolation. And that there's supposed to be 1,000 years of desolation where the earth returns to its pure state. So the
is that what we're going through now?
No, we're probably creating the problem that has to be cleansed over those 1,000 years. Global warming is due to man's activity. And so
I believe
it may take 1,000 years to cleanse the global warming to bring it back to where the earth should be.
Do you think that's going to take mind over matter as well?
Well, I think that mind over matter is how it will be accomplished. And it will be accomplished by those people who have achieved their tikkun. But don't become depressed. This is a month of happiness.
No.
So
I was just trying to remember where in Isaiah I read it, because I read it a long time ago. You know,
I've read it in a number of different places, not just Isaiah, but in commentaries about it. And it's been brought in the Zohar in a number of places. If you go into the preface of the Zohar, I don't remember which section it is, but it's in there as well.
Okay.
So our 7 o'clock West Coast time class tonight is going to be a Zohar class for the parasha of Vayikel. So I hope you'll join us.
Thank you, Manak.
Thank you.
Okay. And tomorrow...
Thank you.
Tomorrow we have the... again, we'll pick up where we left off here at the 4:30 class, and the 7 o'clock tomorrow will be a Tikkuni Zohar class. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom.